Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. I'm back, you know, with my last podcast. I spoke a little bit about the, quite a bit about the LGBT nonsense that's going on in our nation. And especially there, what was tried in Florida, Miami-Dade County, in a high school, how they were trying to push this homosexual agenda on these kids, 15, 16-year-olds, asking them such questions in a test, in a curriculum, about, you know, why are you heterosexual? Do you think this is a phase? Do you think you could just come out of it one day? Do you think being a heterosexual is because you actually have a fear of people of the opposite or the same sex? It was ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Anyways, I'm back, and I hope you catch that last one. I really show a little bit of my frustration. Actually, not completely. I withhold a lot because, number one, I'm a man of God. I don't swear. I don't cuss. I really do my best to speak positively and uplifting. But there's some things you just can't be positive about and you can't uplift, okay? And that kind of wickedness being pushed upon our children, nah, I have nothing kind to say about it, other than it's coming to a radical end. That's kind. Anyways, today I'm going to shift and be a little bit more spiritual. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking like this because I'm trying to be spiritual. I want to speak and talk like I am somebody who is spiritual and pious. Boy, that's weird, huh? Anyways, I do want to talk about something that's just, I want to tell you, I want to give a little testimony about what's going on in our church and how some things came about and how it unfolded. It's really interesting. So I, and for those of you who aren't Christians or go to church a lot, if you don't understand these things, it's okay. Just stick with me. You're going to get something powerful out of this. So don't tune me out just because, oh, he's talking about something I don't understand, because you will understand at least most of it by the time I'm done, because I'll explain it. So anyway, so this is going to freak a lot of people out. Anyways, doesn't matter. My ministry gifting, according to the Bible in Ephesians, book of Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at verse 11, it says that, and it speaks about Jesus giving. When he ascended, he gave to the church what we have coined or called the fivefold ministry, that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are just different, if you will, heads of ministry or ministry types that he gave to the church. That's why you see, like in the Bible, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, Apostle John. And it also talks about how Jesus was our great high priest and apostle, and he's the prophet, as well as a shepherd or a pastor. Okay, so, you know, Jesus fulfilled all five of them. So he basically took portions of himself and gave them in these giftings, you know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I have been called, and it's been confirmed many times over and over and over, as an apostle. And a lot of people say, well, those are apostles, they're not around today. Same with the prophets. Apostles and prophets, they're not around today. You know what? Please just learn your Bible. Don't learn what that preacher's opinion is. Learn what the Word of God actually says. So just for those of you who want to do a little bit of research and you're not afraid of it, read Ephesians chapter 4. You can start at verse 11 or right around in there. You can read the whole chapter. Anyways, in verse 11, it says how, speaking of Jesus, he gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And it goes on to say, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. So those five ministry heads, office gifts, some of us call them, are to teach and train the believer. You know, so just so you can put it into perspective in a modern context, those who preach from the pulpit are supposed to train those who sit in the pews how to do the work of ministry. You know, see, one of the problems that we've had I've been around for 58, almost 59 years, and I've seen this my entire life, is that you have just a small select group of people in a church, typically, not always, in healthy churches, not at all, that do the bulk of ministry, the teaching, the preaching, the ministry, the evangelizing and such. They do the paperwork. And the only thing that the, if you will, the saints, the rest do, is they might teach in, say, Sunday school or one of the kids' classrooms. And you might be able to rope some of them in to mow the lawn and trim the hedges. But there's a small group of people, and it's usually the pastoral team that does all the ministry. That is so out of order. There is to be a pastoral team or a leadership team comprised of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, that equips everyone else to do the work of the ministry. As a matter of fact, when you read in the book of Acts, after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the church really was birthed at Pentecost, a little bit later, and when I say a little bit later, I'm talking about very close to that point of time, the apostles were doing all the even physical labor in this growing church, and it got too much for them. So somebody says, well, why don't we just go and find, I believe it was 7 or 8, anyways, people that can do like the waiting of the tables and the distribution of food, and you guys can do your thing. And so what was the thing that the apostles were doing or should have been doing? Giving themselves over to prayer and the word. See, so if those in the fivefold ministry were really doing their job, prayer and the ministry of the word would be highest on their to-do list. Now, that was for the apostles, but that would go for all of them to some degree. You know, and then what does it say? It talks about how Stephen and Philip, some of them that were chosen just to wait on tables. But because the apostles laid hands on them and imparted to them a spiritual gift, they went among the people and worked miracles. And when there was a dispersion, one goes up north from where they were at and brings an entire region to Christ, all in the book of Acts. A table waiter. Why? Because the apostles at that time did their job of training and equipping even table waiters to do the work of true ministry and not just handing out food, but laying hands on the sick and seeing them recovered, preaching the gospel and getting people saved. So when we all do that, we can all grow and move together powerfully. Now, that's not what I wanted to talk about anyways, but I do want to talk about what's been going on in a church as a way of testimony and kind of show you this also a little bit in scripture. What was interesting is 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I thought, okay, so this coming Sunday, which will be June 8th, we have coming up what we call Pentecost Sunday. Again, if you're a Christian, you're familiar with this. But what we're not always taught in our Christian circles is, because that's the celebration and the memorial of when God sent his Holy Spirit into the upon the 120 in the upper room 2,000 years ago. So, or some 2,000 years ago. But what we don't always know, and it's right there in Scripture, we just don't always put everything together, is that's really the, we call it Pentecost because Penta 50. Okay, and it's the 50 days of counting the Omer from Passover. So 50 days after Passover is Pentecost. And that's where that Greek word comes from, you know, the 50, counting the 50. But in the Hebrew, Shavuot is spelled S-H-A-V-U-O-T. I don't know how to pronounce it because I've heard it pronounced so many different ways. So the way I would pronounce it, and I'm just going to do it for the rest of this, Shavuot. So Shavuot and Pentecost are actually supposed to be the same thing on the same day. But Shavuot to the Hebrew, the Jewish people, that's when they celebrate. When God came down on the mountain and gave Moses the Ten Commandments on the tablets. So they're celebrating the receiving of the Torah. And we celebrate the receiving, the giving and the receiving of Holy Spirit. We, as modern Christians, tend to see that as two different things. The Jewish people tend to see it as two different things. God sees it as the exact same thing. Here's the thing about Shavuot, okay? Again, they're celebrating. So this past Sunday, which was the first, was technically, at least on the Hebrew calendar, Shavuot. June 8th, 1 week later, is what we celebrate, Pentecost. I don't know how they got a week apart, but they should be the exact same day, okay? Because the whole reason why the day of Pentecost, what we read in the book of Acts, was because the Jewish people were there celebrating Shavuot, All right. And they should be the exact same day at the same time. And so anyways, but it's also kind of cool that we get to celebrate two. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So this 2 weeks ago, I thought it was Shavuot. The last Sunday of, I guess that would have been May, the last Sunday of May. I thought it was Shavuot. So we're there celebrating. I'm preaching as it's Shavuot. Where I got that, I don't even remember because I know I looked it up just to make sure. And I thought I was like, I know it. I got it. And then I thought when I came into church and I started preaching and teaching and ministering that this last Sunday, the first, was Pentecost. But in reality, it was actually Shavuot. And Pentecost is in a few days on Sunday, the 8th. So I was off a week on everything. Yeah, 1 week. So I was like teaching. So anyways, so on when I was thought it was Shavuot, I come along and I did a real simple message. And I'm sorry. The week before that, here's what happened. The week before I thought it was Shavuot, so the week before the last week of May, during the service, as the service was coming to an end, there was just a really powerful move of the Spirit. I started smelling, and I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want to put this in people's mind, but I started smelling this really profound, beautiful fragrance in the sanctuary of the church. Not overpowering, not super strong, but enough that I could tell, man, there's something. This is better than any perfume I've ever smelled in my life or any fragrance I've ever smelled that I can remember. And I wrapped the service up and I was standing at the edge of the platform smelling this and with my eyes closed, just enjoying this. One of our leaders in the church comes up, starts talking to me, and I says, did you by any chance, and the only person I said this to was him, smell something in the service? And that's the way I brought it, because I didn't want to make it. Did you smell anything sweet that was like the aroma of heaven kind of a thing? Just, did you smell anything? And he says, yeah. He said, there was like this, I don't know, this perfume, this fragrance that was going around, but it wasn't, he said it was better than any perfume. It wasn't like a perfume. It was just a fragrance, and it was great. You know, I said, yeah. I says, not very, like, not overpowering, right? But there. Yeah, it's kind of faint, but it was definitely there, you know? And he says, so when I was hugging people, saying goodbye to people, I was kind of doing the Joe Biden, sniffing them. He didn't say this, but he said he was, like, trying to find where that fragrance is coming from. So in my mind, of course, where I go, it's like he's trying to play that spiritual Joe Biden, and he was sniffing people to see if they were wearing that perfume, but he couldn't find it. So anyways, my take, because often I've been in those meetings when you really, really touch heaven in a powerful and profound way, you can start, even your senses are heightened, but you can start smelling the fragrance of heaven. If you don't believe this, great, whatever. That's fine. But I believe it because I lived it. The very next week, which would have been the week I thought was Shavuot, that would have been the last week of Sunday. During praise and worship, there was an interesting, beautiful sound that came out of the worship. It sounded like there was, now, I'm not big on choirs or anything like that, so I'm not trying to, you know, do the hype or anything like that. But I heard more voices coming off our platform and through those speakers than there were people on the platform. I heard it was beautiful. And I didn't say anything because my immediate thought was, ooh, there's something going on with our sound system. I hope they don't try to fix it. I mean, that was my thought, you know, because, hey, man, I'm always trying to figure out how to make everything look good and sound good and all that stuff. And we went on. And then afterwards, after the service, and again, we had a phenomenal service. Great service, even better than the week before. I had my wife and several others come up and say, I don't know what was going on. I think I heard angels singing. There was more people or more voices than there were people. I think I heard it. And my wife goes, yeah. And my wife could even describe it. So she even heard it with greater clarity than I did. You know. And so that was profound and beautiful. Then this last Sunday, which I thought was Pentecost, but turned out to actually be Shavuot, you know, on the Hebrew calendar. So I'm coming there, and I didn't teach all these weeks. I haven't taught a real deep message, and I'm usually the guy that I can get up there and teach for two and a half hours easy, because that's my normal flow. That's where I'm at normally. But I purposely pulled back because I felt like God said, listen, I want to speak to the people. I want to move among my people. So now I have to set this up. So this is what happened. I was in my office just preparing and praying. I had a very simple message. And the message was just a few slides. I put it up on the overhead on slides because it just kind of, we can all read it together. We can all see it together. You know, I always encourage people to bring your Bible because sometimes I get off the slides and onto the Bible. So they got to be ready. But nonetheless, so I had just a few slides and it was very brief, just to bring us all together, you know, in that sense, in the Pentecostal sense. One mind, one heart, one accord. So, as I was in my office preparing, the service didn't even start, just about to walk out there, I remembered that months ago, I had purchased a banner. It was a banner, and instead of having like little American flags or something like that, it had the flags of all the nations on this banner, just small flags. They're like 6x9 flags or something like that. And I remembered, oh yeah, I got that. I'm going to break that out. We'll pray over the nations. Now, here's the funny thing. Oh, and I have a laminated world map that I also brought and put that on the floor. And I said, listen, you guys, you know, I want hands laid on these flags. I thought this banner was going to maybe go across the front of the church, the platform in front of the church. Okay. So I asked like three guys, can, you know, you guys get on the end and somebody stand in the middle so it doesn't just lay on the ground. We'll just pray over the nations and then go on. It ended up going around the whole building. This banner was so long, it went around the whole building. Like half the church at least was holding up a banner. But then most of the church, most all the church got in on it and held it because I said, now, this is what I'm going to do. I said, if you have a country that's really weighing on your heart, you know, that you have like maybe Mexico, you just love Mexico and you, it's weighing on your heart. China, weighing on your heart. Japan, weighing on your heart. Just find that flag. So even look it up on your phone if you don't know what the flag looks like. Find the flag and just grab and hold it. Be that point of contact, you know. And so they did. And so everybody in the church, just a few handful of people still sitting down, grabbed a flag. Sometimes several people around one flag. Or I said, and if you can't get to that flag, just come and, you know, lay your hands on that nation on this map that's on the floor. And we're just going to pray over the nations. And so I gave them a little bit of instruction. I'm going to pray generally, but you start praying and declaring into that nation. And so we did. But then something beautiful happened. Man, God met us in such a profound way that we spent the next, it felt just a few minutes to me. My wife says, that was 40 minutes. So 40 minutes, I'll give her 40 minutes. So 40 minutes of just prophesying and declaring and decreeing and praying for the nations. And God was just, you know, downloading some things to me, which you can find some of those prophecies right now on our YouTube channel because we had them filmed, thank God, and recorded. And our media person just took those and just the ones that were coming out of me, not every person because there were so many of us prophesying and decreeing over there. But God just fell in that place. I mean, God just came down and fell in that place, and we're decreeing over the nations. We're declaring over the nations, prophesying over the nations, you know. And it was a powerful, powerful, powerful time. And that turned into a lot of personal ministry. And it was, when I say personal, I'm talking about power ministry. There was things prophetically being called out, people with different illnesses that were like coming up going, yeah, that's me. We prayed for them, get set free. There was people, you know, hey, somebody struggling in this area, blah, 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 and describe it. Yeah, that's me. Come on up. Prophecy that was really accurate and right on, you know, and such. So, profound meeting that day as well. And it again, it went up another notch from the first two. And again, I thought that was Pentecost. After I get home, I realized that all happened on Shavuot. The day I was off a complete week. So I'm thinking this is Pentecost, but it was Shavuot. Now, the reason I got so excited about my mistake is because, you see, we know that on Shavuot, that's when Moses went up. God came down on the mountain, flame of fire, the sound of the trumpets, the earthquake, the thunder, and God saying, come on up here. Moses goes up the mountain into that fire, flame, cloud, the sound of the trumpet, receives the Torah as God chiseled out on those two tablets of stone. However, the Jewish people, many of the Jewish rabbis, and as they would call them, sages, believe that when God came down on the mountain, he was declaring his word. Now listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. He was declaring his word from the mountain over, not just over the Jewish people at the base of the mountain, but over the nations. And he was declaring his word and his will, basically what he put on those tablets of stone, in every known language of the earth. And he was declaring, this is my will. He was declaring, this is my law. This is my instruction. And he was declaring it. He handed Moses, and for the Jewish people, it on stone, but he was declaring it over the nations. Okay, that's what is believed. And so when I realized, wait, that was actually Shavuot, not Pentecost, you know, because of the week and all that stuff, they should be together, but they're not. But you know, you see what I'm saying. And I got so excited because I didn't plan any of the praying over the nations. It was just something like it jumped up in my spirit about 3 minutes before I walked out of my office to go preach. Get the flags, just pray over the nations. Okay. You know, okay, no worries. I didn't put two and two together. And what were we doing? We literally had all the flags of the nations and the world map in front of us of all the nations, and we were declaring and decreeing the word of the Lord over the nations. On Shavuot, not realizing it was Shavuot. I mean, it was profound. And when I connected those dots and I said, yes. Now, here's another thing that happened during the service. We have these little stage lights that are pointed like on the wall, up on the platform and everything, just to provide a little color. They don't blink. They're not strobe lights. We don't have any fog machines. We're not that cool yet. We just have these lights up there just to give a little bit of, you know, color up there. And so one of the colors that I really don't care for too much, because to me it's just hard on my eyes, is kind of like that orangish, goldish color. I like the softer blues, you know, the softer greens, the softer purples and things of that. So this harsh, bright, goldish color. Now, psh, and when I didn't even see it. It was during ministry, or I'm sorry, during the worship, that, you know, I was just praying, I have my eyes closed, and I just open my eyes and look up there, and I see that color. To my flesh, I said, I need to go tell our sound guy to change that to like blue or purple or something like that. But something over, well, we know it was Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit overrode my word, my thought of, I don't like that with, that's the color of the harvest. And I went, oh, wow. So as I started to press into that, you know, like, oh God, there's a harvest. What does that mean? You just told me harvest, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I felt like God was telling me harvest is coming, harvest of souls, of course, but harvest of other things that people are in need of, harvest of healing, harvest of ministries, harvest of anointing, and those types of things. I was excited. So anyways, all of that. So I get home, realize it was Shavuot, okay? Not understanding this. And do you know what? Shavuot is associated with the harvest, the wheat harvest in Israel. I went, wait a minute. I had no idea of all this stuff. I mean, I knew it from my studies, but I had none of it before me in that regard. And God was just unfolding it right before our eyes. And I didn't even know it was the day. I didn't even know that was the time. I thought it was Pentecost. I thought we'd just speak in tongues a little bit and go home, you know, but no, God had something even better in store leading up to Pentecost, which is again Sunday. And I know they should be together. I know I keep saying that, but what for whatever reason on our calendars, they're a week apart. So we're going to go with it. Why? Because I believe that we're in a season of not just the former rain, but of the latter rain, where God's pouring out of his Spirit and doing some things that are absolutely remarkable. And we're seeing it manifest in the natural. We're seeing it manifest all over this nation and actually all over the globe. There truly is a great harvest, yes, of souls. Yes, of souls, but please, and I know souls are most important, so don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but don't focus only on just getting another person saved. Focus on getting people saved, but also being filled with God's Spirit and having a restoration, if you will, a harvest of all the miracles, the signs, the wonders, and the power, and the anointings that have been given up or lost over the centuries, because God's bringing that rush. He's rushing it back into a generation so that, think about this. We have been so concerned about getting the next person saved that we have forgotten the power that leads to that salvation, because we haven't had the time or taken the time, I should say, to press into the power that brings about the salvation of a soul. So we're doing the best that we can, almost carnally, trying to get people saved. And the church in America for a long time had been shrinking. But how can it shrink when everything about us is get the next person saved, get the next person saved, get the next person saved? Because we forgot about everything else that brings them to salvation. I have a friend, we have a friend that powerful ministry, powerful church. They've seen many, 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 many healings and deliverances in this church. And even though, you know, some people question, how come you guys are, you know, you need to be saved, get people saved, get saved, get people saved, get people saved. You're worried about power. You're worried about healing. You're worried about it. Just get them saved. And she's so gracious. She just smiles and says, healing is the dinner bell to salvation. Because when people get genuinely healed by the Spirit of the living God, they want this God in whose name they just got healed. And then so if mama or daddy in a family of unsaved people gets radically healed, radically set free, and there's a noticeable change and difference, they can see it, they understand it, they want, the whole family will want to come in. But if you can just argue somebody to make that decision and come to the altar or say that sinner's prayer because of an argument, all that needs to take place is an argument better than yours. See, there is no better argument than a salvation. Well, from a con man or somebody who is a little bit sharper, they can make it sound better. But when people come in because of the power of God, they're going to stay because of the power of God. And that's something that the church has all but forgotten. You know, anyways, my point on all of that is to say, my accidents, my misstep on the from the calendar and the dates and everything actually turned out to bring a glory to God, to the church, and to the people of God. I mean, we're smelling the fragrance of heaven. We're having angels join in with our worship. We are standing in the place. Again, don't misunderstand that. I do not claim to be God or Jesus himself, but we are standing with God and being God, a Christ-like, in declaring the word of the Lord over the nations, and the nations are beginning to respond. What happened after that, without any of that, I had a Zoom call with world leaders, church leaders. We had seven nations represented in the Zoom call. We would have had more, but we had to limit it to those who speak English because, well, you know, you can imagine having a bunch of different people from different nations in one Zoom call trying to translate to all of them. It's just chaos. So we left it just to English speaking only. But people from Serbia, several nations in Africa, Mexico, who else did we have? Japan, of course, the United States of America. And I already said some in Africa, but South Africa. I mean, you know, so all of us talking, ministering to one another, kind of loosely, but brainstorming on future things together. And here we are declaring over the nations the word of the Lord, and God's manifesting it already. So my point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a time when God is moving. And those of you who don't go to church, or you're an unchurched or whatever, some of you say, oh, I tried church, I didn't like it. You know, come and check out our church. You know, go again. Find a good church, a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, prophetic church. And let me tell you, you're going to be in a good place. Come and check out our church. You're going to be in a good place. God is so moving, and God's doing such a powerful thing. We see it in the natural. You know, one of the things that when I spoke to somebody from another nation, they were just saying, oh, man, your guys' economy, this, that, the other thing, everything's so bad. Trump is doing this, tariffs, that, and everything. I'm like, no, you don't understand. We're doing great. Prices of food are starting to come down. Prices of gas are starting to come down. Everything that Trump is doing is working. And I don't want to sit here and just praise Trump. What I'm saying is I'm praising God that we're seeing the manifestation of his glory even show up in such things as, you know, might seem silly, but egg prices, gas prices, home prices, all of these things, the glory of the Lord is beginning to break through in these areas. And we're starting to see the manifestation of God's presence, power, and spirit in these areas. And it's touching everybody. Have you noticed, like, even though it's like Pride Month, have you noticed how a lot of the Pride nonsense has been canceled or shut down? Why? It's not just because Trump is there. Don't get me wrong. God does use people. So God's using this president to bring about an end to this confusion and this nonsense. It's not 100% yet, but it'll be, you know, a lot better, especially after this year, than it ever has been in many years. Why? Because the glory of the Lord is breaking through. We're starting to hear about revival fires starting up everywhere in the United States. Why? Because God's glory is breaking through. I mean, we experienced it in our church the last 3 weeks. I'm looking so forward to now that I fully understand it's on the calendar and everything, but Pentecost Sunday, this coming Sunday. And do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have a short message prepared, short, and I'm going to, oh, you know what? This is, I just realized something. Just earlier today, somebody called me, said, hey, can you dedicate our baby? And I said, yes, we'll dedicate your baby. It just hit me. The day of Pentecost was when the church was fully birthed. We're going to be dedicating a baby on Pentecost Sunday and then jumping into the flow of the Spirit. I find that profound. You may not, I do. Anyways, so God's already moving. God's already setting things up. People are being healed. People are being saved. People are being delivered. The voice of God is declaring over us. The prophets are prophesying. The apostles are rising up again and breaking through into new areas of the Spirit and in the natural. The pastors are busy leading their sheep, their people, in a given congregation or area. The evangelists are busy winning souls and bringing them into this new move of God. The teachers are receiving these phenomenal downloads from heaven so that they can just teach this, that, and the other thing, given a few nuggets of information. But now they're being taught on how to bring about true revelation that changes people's lives forever and motivates them and moves them to higher dimensions. I'm telling you, God has been and is still cleansing his church and then empowering his cleansed church. Not every church has been hit yet, but mark my words, you're still going to see and hear about some preacher falling or doing something stupid, being removed, because God's cleansing his church of those who truly refuse to repent and get right. And then after that is cleansed, and it's not just about pastors, I'm talking about in every way, he's going to empower, he's going to bathe in his blood and then sprinkle with his spirit and empower the church to do a profound work in the United States and around the globe. We're watching this, we're seeing this, we're witnessing this, and it's profound. And God's going to get his glory into the earth, and his glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's what the scriptures say. So this is exciting times we're living in, ladies and gentlemen. I know many are just waiting around for Jesus to pluck us out of here before Antichrist shows up and cuts off our head or eats our lunch or something. I'm not worried about any of that at all. What I'm concerned is being right where God wants me to be, doing exactly what he wants me to do, because that's where the glory of the Lord is, and that's where it's going to be expressed and released and manifest to the masses and to the nations of this globe. You watch, ladies and gentlemen. Even the mainstream media in the nations is going to become, to a degree, an ally of the church, simply by relating and sharing what the church is doing. They're going to start talking about miracles that they don't understand. They're going to go talk about how many people got baptized or how many people got saved and baptized, and they're not even going to understand the why behind it. But they're going to be declaring to the world, they're going to be some of our greatest evangelists just telling the world, hey, this church over here just went from 50 people to 500 people to 5,000 people. And many are reporting that there's healing, there's miracles, there's signs, there's wonders. They may not even realize what they're doing, but what are they doing? They're showcasing the move of God. And you're going to start seeing this more and more and more and more and more and more. And so I'm excited about this, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait for this to come to, you know, to a head, so to speak, where we all are at the top of that mountain in the flame of fire, speaking with our God the way Moses did. This is going to be profound. It's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And we're already experiencing it already. But I know there's so much more that God's going to give us. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, please, if you're anywhere near us, come and find us. We'd love to have you. If not, go find a church where the Bible is preached. I mean, the whole Bible is preached. And it's a prophetic, apostolic kind of setting. Find that church and go to it, intend, and receive from the Lord. I love you all. God bless you. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.